My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, you're missing out if you're not watching on the stream. Had Professor Hammond here doing diagrams to explain the King salary cap situation.
I need a bigger, like, if I had a big whiteboard, I could, show it. Like, break it all down for you. We can do that one day.
Get one from Kim.
I'll will one of the big, like the one that Charlie has. I'll just will it in and just like erase all of his programming.
Yeah, we can
off
do that.
Of it. And then, you know, like I can sit here and do diagrams and everything. It's super complex. And
a King's cap Q&A would be great.
Yeah. There will come a point where we need to do that right before free agency.
Yeah.
Right. It's. You know, and that's another reason why not having your first round pick, it actually could be a good thing, because that's like a guaranteed $2 to $3 million salary that you don't have on the books. And so it actually frees stuff up for guys like Keon Ellis. It frees stuff up for a guy to have Colby Jones on the team, like all of these things.
All right, let's take a look around the NBA scoreboard. We'll do the offseason stuff in the offseason. And maybe we will do just a cap Q&A one day.
Yeah,
it might be fun. The Kings now 37-27, and that's what last segment we talked about, the starting lineup stuff. That's the other thing that I think I don't want to lump anybody else, I, and maybe you as well, lose sight of sometimes, is the Kings are not bad. they didn't maybe take the leap that some people expected them to take this year, but they're 10 games over. They're comfortably in the play-in. They're a half game out of a playoff spot. They're 2 games out of being a 5 seed, and they're 4 games out of hosting a round one playoff series.
That's not bad.
No, it's a really good.
Yeah.
Like that's a spot. So like I said, I think the vibes were so good last year that it was almost impossible to replicate that this year. Outside of they are, you know, tied at the top of the West at 45-20 right now and everything is awesome, that just isn't a realistic jump. So they're still in a very good spot. So when we talk about lineup changes, or when again, I don't want to say we, because maybe not everybody agrees with me, but when I sit here and go, man, maybe they're better with Keon in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. If you're Mike Brown, you're looking and going, well, I can get Keon on the floor for 20 plus minutes a night still. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to mess with something that's 10 games over through 64 games. This is going okay.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it.
I would also, like, there's expectations on this team that have never, ever been there before. And there are players on this team that are playing with expectations that have never had expectations like this before.
No doubt.
When you walk into a season and no one expects you, most people have you as a 13 seed in the Western Conference, and you jump up and are the 3 seed, expectations change. Now, they don't change within the season, in that original season, because everyone is always waiting for the shoe to drop. They're always like, oh, well, this isn't real.
Right.
Oh, they're not going to be able to keep this up.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're trying to sit there and prove people wrong that you can keep up and that you can
right.
you can keep on the right track and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And then everyone says, oh, just wait till after the All-Star break when the real basketball starts. And look, the Kings didn't fade again. Yep. And we're like, okay, like, oh, now you got something, right? Yep. Well, you go into the off season, and now everyone just expects you to build off of that. And it feels like you should have been able to build off with that, build off of that, because you brought the same group back. But there is a whole different like level of intensity that you're facing now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up against a Milwaukee Bucks team on a Tuesday night that Giannis is actually playing. You know how many times Giannis has not played against the Kings?
A lot.
It's more than one. Like and, where he's just like, yeah, the Bucks, yeah, we don't need to play him tonight.
And the Kings had still lost, what, 15 in a row to them?
Yeah. You know how many times that LeBron James had just didn't yeah. play in a game against the Kings, or Paul George, or Kawhi Leonard, or name yeah. that star on some team?
They were the night off on the calendar.
Yeah, that's not who you are now.
Yeah.
And so you have to deal with that. You have to deal with expectations changing. You have to deal with fans freaking out at a grocery store when you walk through and asking you why you guys keep losing. Like, mm-hmm. there are so many nuances to this. And, like, look, do they need to rise to the occasion? Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're still 10 games over and they're still positioned,
mm-hmm.
they're actually playing reasonably well. It's just every couple of games, they get clubbed. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well,
yeah.
you know what just happened to the Milwaukee Bucks? They just got flat out destroyed.
This was the second time on this West Coast swing that they've lost a game by 30 plus. By 35 exactly, actually.
They're the number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
They got clubbed with all of their players mm-hmm. last night, except for Middleton, which you can't count on Middleton being there either way. So I think that there needs to be a readjustment a little bit. And I think last year I kept saying it down the stretch, just please, fans, enjoy the run. Enjoy what's happening.
The rise is the best part.
Yes, it is. This is the best part of all of this. It's never going to feel this way again. It's never going to be new and everything mm-hmm. else. And this is what we meant. It's living and dying with wins and losses mm-hmm. like it's your mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And I feel for fans because I get it. I know you want your team to be great. But at the same time, I feel for a guy like Mike Brown. I feel for a guy like Kevin Huerter, who doesn't want to miss shots. Like the whatever it is that's going on with some of these guys, it's not like it's something they're choosing.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's something that's happening, and maybe it's mental, maybe it's physical, you know, whatever it is, but it's something that is being examined and torn apart and talked about every single day by us on the radio, by everyone else on the radio, by people in print.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the world you live in, but it doesn't mean that it feels good, and it doesn't mean that it makes it easier for you to find success.
Yeah.
And so, like, look, I think we're back to the point, like, look, 18 games, show up, cheer on your team. If they have a horrible run and you feel like booing, I'm not going to tell you not to boo. Mm-hmm. But also keep in mind that it's not like they want to lose games. They're out there trying to win games.
Sure.
And sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. And sometimes fans are going to get frustrated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if there's any concern about, just on that last point, if there's any concern about support for the team, go watch last night. Last night was electric.
Go buy a ticket if you can afford one, if you can find one that you can buy.
Yeah.
Packed house. Crazy.
Go hang out at G1C. All right, let's take a look around the scoreboard real quick, because the Kings did get a little bit of help last night. The Minnesota Timberwolves, with 5:13 to go in the second quarter, trailed the Los Angeles Clippers by 22 points.
Mm.
22 points they were down. The Minnesota Timberwolves went on to win that game 118-100. That is a 40-point swing in less than half an hour of basketball.
Okay.
Very impressive win for Minnesota. They stay a half game back of the number one seed. But the bigger deal is, Kings, just four games back of the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard left the game last night because it was uncomfortable to sit. He had back spasms that were so bad, he couldn't even sit out the game because his back spasms were so bad. James Harden is now dealing with something that he said it'll be he indicated it's going to kind of be how he feels on a day-to-day basis on whether he plays or not.
Mm.
Are you looking at the Clippers and going, eh, they're in arm's reach, or are they out of the picture?
I'm always looking at the Clippers and thinking they're either the best team or the biggest fraud in the league. All the time. Mm. Every year. Like, really.
Yeah.
You're waiting for them to go from being an iPod to being a Zoom. Like, the whole time. You're
what,
like,
a pull.
You're like, is that what's going to happen? Are they going to become a Zoom, like, right in front of us? And the fact is, like, that's kind of who they are, that you're waiting for the injuries. You know, I'll say this too. Last night, Gary Gerald, absolute legend in Sacramento.
An icon.
An icon, and one of the great, great men that you're ever going to meet.
An all-time nice guy.
All-time nice guy. Struggled with back spasms last night. You know who didn't go home? Gary Gerald. He sat there and called a game with back spasms. At least, like, I'm a guy who has a bad back. I show up at every game, and I get you're Kawhi Leonard, but, like, leaving a game and going home?
That's crazy.
What?
I don't know, man.
Like, get a heat pad. Like, he's got the best drugs known to man. Like, you don't think that they got something good going on with him right then? He like, I might get lucky and get a Toradol shot to get some of the inflammation up.
Sure.
He's got a lot more than that flowing. Yeah. And, like, come on. Yeah, good luck with that team. Good luck. Like, I hope people don't ever bet on the Clippers to win the championship.
I want no parts of that. Maybe they figure it out. I want no parts of it.
Hey,
If you told me the Kings tracked down the Clippers, I wouldn't be shocked.
I would not be shocked at all. Yeah, if the Kings win the Pacific Division down 4 right now, I would not be shocked.
I would be a little surprised, actually, but only because it meant the Kings started stringing wins together at a rate that they have not this year. It would have meant they started regularly handling business against worse teams.
Hey, I'm not saying that he should have played. I'm saying, like,
You can't hang out at
Staples and support your team.
Crypto?
And, yeah, whatever it's called.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
So...
good luck with that.
The Clippers very much in view for Sacramento. The Pacers all over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 121-111. Hey, which one of those teams is more likely to win a first-round playoff series?
Which one?
Yeah.
Out of who?
The Clippers and the Pacers. The Pacers right now would face the Cavs.
Still taking the Clippers.
The Thunder would face if the play-in goes as just chalk, it would be the Mavericks. It'd be Thunder v. Mavericks or Pacers v. Cavs.
I'm still taking the Clippers.
Also, the Sixers, very quietly, suddenly a play-in team?
That might be because the MVP left the building.
No, I understand that, but I thought they would be able to stay afloat a little bit.
It's a tough look.
Really, really bad. They got thumped by the Knicks last night, 106-79. Looks like OG Anunoby is going to be back for Saturday's game against the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. All right. That's it for our look around the scoreboard. Let's get some keys to... here we go. 3-2-1. Let's get some Kings keys to victory tonight against a Los Angeles Lakers team that they have dominated. How do they continue that domination? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Nice.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there, Sacramento Kings, Los Angeles Lakers, Golden 1 Center, tonight coming up at 7 o'clock. Is that the Lakers are favored tonight?
Really?
That feels like bait.
Feels disrespectful.
It feels like bait to me.
Hmm.
I know the books have to go with, because if... you know, they make the Kings favorites, you'd get a bunch of public money on the Lakers and they could potentially lose their rear ends. Let me check the specific number, because whatever it is, I think I'm taking the Kings plus points tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. That just solely based on not any vibe I feel with the Kings. Yeah, the Lakers are -2.5. Give me the Kings plus +2.5, because I think the vibes are not the vibes, but that feels like bait. That feels like books want me to take the Lakers.
Hmm. Okay.
Or does it feel like books want me to take the Kings? Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm feeling like you should never bet on the Sacramento Kings one way or another.
No, no, no. You're right. Like, they're the only reliable thing about the Kings is when they play a team like Milwaukee, they're going to show up. Last night, I was super confident. That was part of the reason I decided I was going to stick around the whole game. It's like, I feel like they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, but that's the vibe, though. We have to, like, we always have to go counter, right?
Yeah, but with the Lakers specifically, I don't know.
Mm.
Should the Kings win? Yeah, but does that mean the Lakers are a team that they're going to go lay down against? Like, they just certainly didn't last time.
Well, I can't wait to hear, like, a bunch of times how difficult it is to win, beat the same team four times in a row in the same season.
Yeah, because it's going to be a talking point tonight. Bless you.
Sorry,
I should have turned off your mic. That's bad awareness by me.
I tried to.
I'll take the fouls on me there.
All right.
It's on, yeah. It's my first personal. I got fouls to give.
All right.
What's the injury report look like for tonight?
Oh, man. We got all kinds of good stuff on the injury report. The Los Angeles Lakers are a hot mess. We, of course, have Mr. LeBron James is questionable, which is something that, we've kind of grown to become accustomed to. It's something that's happening all the time. But they also have Christian Wood out, Cam Reddish out, Jared Vanderbilt out, Gabe Vincent out. Probable is Anthony Davis. For the Kings, Keegan Murray is questionable again, mm-hmm. I believe. Trey Lyles is probably going to be questionable and maybe even doubtful with a knee issue that happened last night. And then we have Sasha Vezenkov out.
Didn't love the look on that Trey Lyles knee thing. I'm not a doctor by any means, but the way nothing seemed to really happen. He jumped up for a rebound and then came down and started grabbing at his knee and tried to work it out, jogging up and down the court a couple times.
Yeah.
Came out of the game at the next stoppage and was then ruled out.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Odd.
It was pretty quick how they ruled him out.
Yeah.
And I would just go back, rewind back to the Kings-Lakers game last week. Trey Lyles was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he played
a really, nice
really, really solid defense on both Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did his best to get big and stay in front of those guys and keep them away from the basket. And not having him, like, you can already see that this team is a little like light at that position, and now it's even more so. So you're gonna have to count on big minutes from maybe a guy like Alex Len. Maybe you go small for a lot more stretches, like what the Kings have done the last couple of games. It should be intriguing how the Kings handle this, especially if Keegan can't go, because then that leaves two of your, or even three of your standard four forwards out of commission.
Yeah, man.
It's like Harrison Barnes and who else?
A lot of Kessler.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of Kevin Huerter at the mm-hmm. three. You know, he's 6'7". He might be better defensively at the three than he is at the two. Although I don't like him against like a guy like Rui Hachimura or a guy like LeBron James. Like
to be fair to Kevin Huerter, there's not a lot of people I do like against LeBron James.
No, I totally get that. But I'd also say, like, Rui is super aggressive.
Yeah, very physical.
He's very physical. And he had a really good game last time the Kings played them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
29 points?
Yeah, he had 28, something like that. Whatever it was. Yeah, that's not a matchup that I think the Kings are going to love. And so hopefully either Keegan or Trey Lyles is back tonight.
All right, let's get some keys to a Sacramento Kings victory. James Hamm, what is your first?
Build on the momentum.
Mm.
Man, I'm so tired of the momentum killers.
Yeah.
You know, like, find a way to build some momentum. You get a win tonight against a team that you've really done well against over the last 2 years. You go into Saturday with a little more confidence against a Knicks team that's getting a little bit healthy with OG Anunoby coming mm-hmm. back. Like, you need to build some momentum with 18 games remaining in the season if you hope to make a run.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. You beat the Lakers. You have a real good chance against the Knicks. The Knicks are tough. Don't get it twisted. You have a real good chance Saturday, and then you alluded to this earlier. Then it's Memphis, at Toronto, at the Wizards, at Orlando, home against Philly, who's now the number 7 seed in the East and sliding. You get a couple against the Mavericks. Those are big games. And Utah. There's a ton of winnable games here coming up where if you are going to close that gap and you are going to win the Pacific Division, you got an opportunity, but it has to start tonight. That momentum has to start building now. I think that's a great point by you. First one for me,
yep.
I don't know, don't get down by 20. Did that against the Lakers last time. I don't think that you can dig yourself out of a 20-point hole, or 19 points, I guess it was. I don't think you can do it twice. Start with your foot on the gas.
Okay.
Pretty easy key.
I would say you're probably right there, but the Lakers are a team that they have a lot of offensive weapons and not a lot of guys who play defense. And their two guys that are best at defense are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, you know, again, they're aging and they're not the same defensive players, but they surround them with like poor defenders, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves. Like if Austin Reeves is matched up on De'Aaron Fox,
night, dude.
Straight up barbecue chicken.
Night, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on both ends of the floor, it turns out.
Yeah.
Number two.
Seize a moment.
Seize it.
This is another playoff game, and a great crowd is expected, and like sweeping the Lakers would feel really good for this Kings
dude,
team. That'd be
big.
Can
you imagine the light the beam chant if the Kings cap off a season sweep of the Lakers would be one of the loudest non-postseason light the beam chants.
Oh, yeah.
It would be incredible.
Well, this would be a big one.
Yeah, this is a huge spot. I'm right there with you. Playoff atmosphere for sure, and then you tack on the non-intangible things like the standings, and this game has a ton of meaning. You can't shrink. Number two, let the guards cook. Mm-hmm. You just alluded to this, man. They cannot guard De'Aaron Fox. They cannot keep him out of the paint. They cannot keep Malik Monk out of the paint. And when those two are getting in the paint, whether they are passing or whether they are scoring, they're both really good shot makers at the rim, really good shot makers in the mid-range. When those two guys are getting into the paint, I don't know what you do to stop Sacramento's offense. They have to let those guys cook tonight, and I would like to see plenty of that because the Lakers don't have any answers.
Are you asking for spray threes?
I would like to see at least 20 sprays tonight.
At least 20 sprays.
20 sprays. That's the goal.
20 sprays, most of them to hot guys.
Dude, if you can spray some hot guys.
I don't know what you...
Their words, not ours.
Their words.
I know people want to throw flags and do that whole bit. I don't know if Jesse can even hear us right now, but that's their language. Oh, he's throwing a flag. Boo. Boo.
He may bust in the door here. He may bust in the door just to... to like throw a flag.
Sprays to some spray.
We've lost our way.
Number three.
Fox, Sabonis, Monk, star again.
Yeah.
We don't care if you starred yesterday. We don't care if you starred last week.
No.
You star again.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, dude, we can talk about Keegan. We can talk about Keon Ellis, Kevin Herter. We can do all that. The Kings this year, this season in 2023-2024, are going to go as far as that trio takes them.
That's right.
That's the long and short of it.
I agree.
Number three for me. I want to see more Keon Ellis. Maybe not starting. I mean, he might start if Keegan Murray's out. But if everybody's healthy, maybe not starting, but I would like to see more Keon Ellis minutes. I think the Kings are just a different team with him on the court, not only with what he brings tangibly, but what he brings intangibly. I think people tend to follow his energy. I think he's a connector on both ends of the court. I would like to see more Keon Ellis minutes tonight.
I would love that as well. I'd love to see him with D'Angelo Russell, because if you can stop D'Angelo Russell from getting crazy
he's
hot,
a big time catalyst for them.
You got a shot.
And he's been very, very good lately. Apparently somebody was mean to him on the internet, and that sparked his recent run of strong play. So maybe Kings fans just be super nice to D'Angelo Russell before the game.
Yeah, be nice to him.
Play
on the internet.
Be like, wow, D'Lo, amazing shot. You're quite a player.
Heck all day long.
You're the best player on the Lakers.
Just feed
many
that.
Many are saying.
Feed that ego. Yeah.
Be super nice. That's key number four. Fans, be nice to D'Lo. D'Angelo Russell, Damian Barling too, of course. But we mean D'Angelo Russell in this sense. Want to remind everybody, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are here every single day on ESPN 1320 from 10 a.m. to noon. If you can't catch the show or you can't catch parts of the show, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show, you can download that and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Our show is called The Insiders, but we can't call it that for reasons that go well over my head and well outside my pay grade. So look for the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show wherever you get your podcasts, and don't miss a second of our program. We appreciate you all very much. ESPN 1320 is going hoops crazy. You could even say we are going mad. We have a ton of basketball coming up for you with March Madness coming up, NBA playoffs coming up. It's all going to be right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment coming up. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. I'm excited for their show intro today. D'Lo and KC show intros after W's are some of my favorite things.
They're a little wild.
They're great.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I hope he gets back to Drake Bars. That should have been a Drake Bar game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll get some impromptu Drake Bars. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they put that bit to bed. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea. But that should be a super fun show today. So make sure to stay tapped into ESPN 1320, whether you are listening on the free Odyssey app, whether you're listening on the radio, or whether you're checking us out on YouTube.com/ESPN1320 or Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Or maybe you're one of the hundreds of people watching on YouTube. Salute, shout out to you, and thank you for tapping in. I have two things I want to get to. Do you want to do the good version of Good, Bad, and Ugly? Or do you want to do the last time the Kings beat Milwaukee?
Let's go last time the Kings beat Milwaukee.
Okay, so the last time the Kings beat Milwaukee, you went and did the deep dive research on this. If you were unfamiliar with the Kings' losing streak to the Milwaukee Bucks, they had lost 15 consecutive games to Milwaukee entering last night. That is astounding.
Yes.
It's not... The Bucks have been really good for the last few years. The Kings, until recently, have not been very good. But 15 wins in a row against one team is very, very hard to do. The last time the Kings beat the Bucks, February 1st of the 2016 season. That is insane. That is so long ago.
It is really, really a long time.
I did not even live in this state in 2016.
You know, the crazy thing, too, is that the Kings had lost four in a row coming into that game, and then they lost the next four after that game, but they beat the Bucks. And this was a bad season, but not, like, the worst season.
Yeah. 2015-16, they went 33-49. And those 33 wins were their most since 2008. Oh.
Here's a crazy thing. Watch this. Who coached that team? Do you see who coached that team?
Oh, George Karl.
George Karl.
The legend.
So since that point, like, we've had Dave Yeager.
Yep. He was in the building last night.
He was in the building. Yep. Got a big hug from Dave.
Good to see Dave. He looks great, by the way.
Yeah, he does look good. Yeah. His health problems are behind him, it looks like. His wife was also in the building, so shout out to the Yeagers. So we had Dave, mm-hmm. we had Luke, we had Alvin, and now Mike.
Yep.
Four head coaches ago.
Four head coaches. The Kings' leader in win shares, according to Basketball Reference that season, was DeMarcus Cousins. Here are their leaders in win shares since the last time they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. DeMarcus Cousins, Willie Cauley-Stein, back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
Nemanja Bjelica?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Nemanja,
thank you.
No, either way.
Boy, then I just, okay.
You ask him, is it Nemanja or is it Nemanja?
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
And so it's Nemanja? Yes. It's not Nemanja. No, it's Nemanja.
Okay.
Is it Nemanja? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so like
I wasn't wrong?
No, it's literally like a who's on first. Okay. When you talk to Nemanja or Nemanja, okay. It's the same thing.
Belly. In the 2019-20 season. Rashawn Holmes in the 2020-2021 season. Harrison Barnes in 21-22. And then, of course, the last 2 years, it's been Domas. That is a crazy... So much time that group of players that I just mentioned encompasses such a wide swath of recent Kings history. And in that entire stretch, not one time did they knock off the Milwaukee Bucks.
Never. The starting lineup, DeMarcus Cousins missed the game, right? So the starting lineup for the Kings, Rajon Rondo.
Sure.
Marco Bellinelli at the two. Because he was very upset that he had to come off the bench and he only wanted to be passed to by Rondo. That was a problem. Rudy Gay at the three put up 32 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Kosta Kufis at the five and Willie Cauley-Stein at the four. They went twin towers.
Went big.
They combined for 11 points and 21 rebounds, those two. Off the bench, Omri Caspi. Darren Collison, who was in the building last night. Did you see Darren?
I didn't see him, but I heard he
came into the media room, and again, like, it was good to see Darren. Haven't seen him in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy Acey, James Anderson, with Caron Butler, Seth Curry, and Ben McLemore either not playing or not dressing, along with DeMarcus Cousins.
Rondo that season tied his career high, not career high, excuse me, how many games is he in Sacramento? 72, just that one season.
Mm-hmm.
He hit his season high, tied his season high, and made threes in that game. He went 4-for-4 from beyond the arc.
Whoa. That was a season where he had a bunch of triple-doubles.
Like, that's correct.
He knew how to get to a triple-double.
7 triple doubles that year. Six.
So I think the crazy thing too is if you look at the Bucks lineup, Michael Carter Williams at the point.
Oh my God. This is, again, if you're just tapping in, this is the last time the Kings beat the Bucks prior to thumping them 129-94 last night.
That's right. They had Chris Middleton at the two.
Yeah, it's sure.
They had the tandem, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker.
Kings legend
with Greg Monroe at the center position.
Oh my God.
Jared Baylish, Rashad Vaughn, Miles Plumlee, Johnny O'Brien came off the bench.
Chris Copeland, Knicks legend?
Yeah. Tyler Ennis.
Suns legend?
Yes. John Henson?
Kings legend?
No. John Henson never played for the Kings. Did play for the Cavs, I want to say.
Yeah, had a cup of coffee with the Cavs in Detroit.
OJ Mayo. OJ Mayo. You know what happens when you get injured in Milwaukee?
What's that?
According to Rudy Gay, you get fat.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what it is.
That I don't think it was this game that. Oh no, that was the sleep train. That might have been the night that Rudy Gay said that. It may have been the night that Rudy Gay said that.
Man, that is such a long. And the Bucks weren't good that year, by the way. The Bucks that loss dropped them to 20-30. They're 10 games under.
Mm.
The win got the Kings to six games under. I'm sorry.
Wow, Johnny O'Brien. That's a blast.
That is just such a man.
Wow.
The Kings were down at the half too in that one.
Man, what a great nickname Johnny O'Brien has.
What is it?
J-O-B. He's on the job.
He's on the job.
Johnny O'Brien. Great nickname. All right.
That is the last time the Kings beat the Milwaukee Bucks. We have not mentioned yet. Well, you mentioned it in Six Quick Thoughts very briefly.
Yeah.
But Domantas Sabonis sets the Sacramento Kings franchise record.
47
consecutive double-doubles. And then Malik Monk set a Kings record for most assists by a Kings reserve.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like him and De'Aaron just trashing Bobby Jackson.
Yeah. Super funny.
Yeah. Like, because Bobby was here, so they know Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like Bobby was here. He coached the Stockton Kings all last season,
mm-hmm.
but he was an assistant for most of De'Aaron Fox's career here.
Worked a lot with De'Aaron, I believe.
Yeah.
So, no, that was a cool thing for them. And I mean, not a huge surprise. And I think more a testament to, here's my thing with these records. Is it notable nationally that Domantas Sabonis broke the Kings franchise record for consecutive double-doubles? No. I don't know who cares. I don't know that anyone nationally cares that Malik Monk set a Kings record for assists by a reserve.
Mm-hmm.
But what this does for me is it illustrates in a tangible way the impact Domantas Sabonis has on this team and the impact Malik Monk has had on this team. Malik Monk is not just a microwave scorer who comes in and, yeah, hey, some nights he might give you 30, but some nights you're going to get 8, and it's just kind of a crapshoot. No, he is a second point guard. He is not a traditional sixth man in that sense of, yeah, he's going to go score, he's going to go be Lou Williams, he's going to be Jordan Clarkson. Like, no, man, he's going to go be the second point. He is going to distribute. He's going to be a playmaker. And, yeah, it comes with quite a bit of scoring. Like we saw, he had 25, 5 last night.
Yeah.
He's been really good at putting the ball in the basket. But that assist record also shows you, in less than two full seasons, by the way, assist record just shows what he's been able to accomplish as a playmaker as well.
How many games do you think Bobby Jackson played for the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, geez. I was so young. 150.
365.
Oh, my God.
Guess how many Malik Monk has played?
Less than two seasons, so like 149?
140.
Man.
He broke that record that quick.
Jeez.
What in the world?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Domas. I'm just going out on a limb here. I don't think Domas is going to stop at 47. Just my take. Don't come after me. I'm not trying to fire up the hot take cannon.
Uh-oh.
I just say I think he's going to have more than 47 straight double-doubles.
I'm ready to say that. I'm not sure what the all-time NBA record is.
And Kevin Love has it, right? 58? Yeah. 59? 55 by Kevin Love?
Yeah, 55. Barr. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 55. It was 55 by Kevin Love.
All right. Good, bad, and ugly. So what we typically do is we very quickly, before we get Kenny Caraway in here for the handoff, D'Lo and KC coming up here in about 15 minutes. What we typically do is we pick something good, something bad, something ugly, and we just kind of rip through it and touch on maybe some things we didn't get to touch on from the game.
I just got a text. The all-time record consecutive is Wilt at 227. Kevin Love, I think, is second.
Consecutive?
Yeah, since the merger, Love holds the record.
Oh, since the merger. Okay.
All time is 227.
Yeah. Wilt doesn't count, bro. Everybody's chasing Wilt in all things. In all things. Everybody's chasing Wilt. What was good last night for you?
Good. Keon Ellis was masterful against Dame.
Mm.
Like, Damian Lillard is one of the toughest players in the league to guard because he can shoot from anywhere. And Mike Brown said it in pregame. If you just, like, kind of blow on him, Mm-hmm. You get a foul call.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Like,
do you think Mike's going to get a fine for the preemptive ref call out? Can the league do that?
I think they can, and they might.
Because Mike talked about defending, and he's like, you know, you have to watch out because if you touch him, if you even breathe on him, you're going to get a foul. Like, dang.
Well, look at the fouls. Damn, look at the disparity in free throw attempts between the two teams. It wasn't even close.
I was watching right there with you. The good thing for me was Giannis. He didn't disappoint. I really enjoyed watching Giannis play last night. That was a fun experience.
Yeah, he's literally the Greek freak.
What was better?
Yeah, we're not doing good, bad, and ugly today.
Yeah, it's good, better, best.
It's good, better, best.
Yeah.
The defense holds the Bucks to 36.6% from the field, 17.9% from three. What is that?
Crazy. The Bucks pulled a Kings. I saved the message here from Will Z. WillZStats.com does a great job tracking the Kings via numbers and has some really, really good ones. The Bucks, he gave us this one. Bucks 3 of 18 on wide open threes last night. 3 of 18.
Oof.
That's not great, but the Kings defensively did such a nice job. Mike Brown mentioned this postgame, 21 deflections. They wound up with 11 steals. They forced 13 Bucks turnovers. The Kings defense last night for me was awesome. What was the best?
Well, first, I need Will to tell me how many of those wide open threes were to hot guys.
Yeah,
that's the question.
I don't know, James. I don't want to hear that.
That's the question. Like,
you want to hear about sprays to hot guys?
I think the Kings play good defense.
Uh-huh.
I think they've been playing better defense, being active.
Uh-huh.
But I was watching before. Will Z read my mind. I'm watching the game. Wide open corner threes,
dude. I
all night long.
Mentioned it
and
during the game.
And it don't matter who's hot or not. These are NBA players. These are guys. Yeah. I mean, Connington can hit threes. Beasley can hit threes.
Beasley's a good shooter.
They were right. They were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that had a whole lot to do with the Kings' defense. That's not even me saying they play bad defense, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. Like, I think a lot of time people see that and be like, the Kings held them to this and that from the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't. And on the flip side, the Kings can play really good defense and have a hand in Devin Vassell's face,
sure,
and he splashes a three, you know, with Keegan Murray draped all over him. Like, but that's not bad defense, right? Like, but people look at that and be like, oh, the Spurs hit 13 threes.
First result.
They played bad defense. No, they didn't play bad defense.
No, it's process or first result. And we're going to pull the plug on the rest of this bit. It's a handoff with Kenny Caraway.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I said to James last night. I was like, man, they're getting a lot of open looks.
Mm-hmm.
And they just never knocked him down. And sometimes that happens. The thing for me that I thought there were some things that Kings did really well defensively last night, for sure. It wasn't a perfect defensive game because you mentioned it, 18 wide open looks. And if they hit 7 of those, the game looks a lot different, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But 21 deflections. I thought
great.
Keon was awesome on Dame Lillard and limiting him.
Right.
Dame didn't just miss shots. They made it really, really tough for him.
Yeah.
The other thing I think you have to credit the Kings with is not letting Milwaukee hang around while they were missing their threes.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and Milwaukee was missing, and the Kings were going down and making their shots, three layup or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me, De'Aaron talked about it after the game. You know, sometimes you got to get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're going to shoot 6 for 32, and sometimes the opponent's going to shoot 7 for 39.
Yeah.
But I think overall last night, I think it was a better defensive effort.
I think it was a good – I say all that saying, I think, like what you brought up, James brought up, Coach Brown brought up, the deflections, the activity on the defensive end, I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is I think the Kings have been playing that type of defense as of late. You know what I mean? And I don't think they necessarily get the credit because of defensive rating and points per game and all this other stuff. But I really, since the All-Star break, since there was an emphasis on, you know, defending the three and stuff like that, I've seen them more active at trying to defend the three, trying to keep guys in front of them. And the numbers may not necessarily give them the credit they deserve for that, but I see more activity. And we saw that firsthand yesterday with the deflections and playing in the passing lanes and things of that nature. That's what I've been seeing from them as of late.
The difference to me last night was it was all game. They never let their foot off the gas on that end. We've seen stretches of really good defense,
mm-hmm.
and then they just stop playing it. They start giving up a ton of pain points. They start giving up open threes. They start giving up sprays to hot guys. Yeah. And
I got to be honest. Like, watching the game last night, I remember Brook Lopez hitting 1-3 that was like, okay, that's not good. I don't remember him hitting, being open for a bunch of threes. He goes 1-4. I remember Damian Lillard being like draped on. Like, he couldn't get away from anyone. He goes 1-6. Giannis, you go ahead and shoot a three. He goes 0-2. That's fine. Pat Bev, go ahead and shoot a three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He goes 0-3. Mm-hmm. So that's 0-5 between those two. And then if you look at the guys that I thought were hotly contested, Brooke Lopez and Dame Lillard, they go 2-10. So like, if we add those up, 2-15 right there, that's where your big swing comes. Like, did Beasley get a couple open looks? Sure. Did Connington get a couple open looks? Yeah. Did who's the other kid? AJ Green. He goes 1-6 from the
not
field.
Not AJ
one
Green
four.
I was thinking of.
No, me neither.
No. No.
I was like, AJ Green? Oh.
What did you think of that Andre Jackson dunk?
That was an all-timer.
That was wild, wasn't it?
That was an all-timer, man.
I've never seen somebody jump
that. That was insane. That was insane. I was trying to figure, like, did he catapult over Slauson or anything? Not really. Like, Slauson just kind of was in his way, but he got up that high on his own, it looked like. That was crazy.
That was wild.
His chest was out.
That was crazy.
And it was a putback.
Yeah.
Like, how do you time that?
That
was wild.
You know what's wild about NBA players? And I've said this to you before, James, in pregame. You watch Harrison Barnes in pregame. Does not miss.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if he's fading left, fading right, turnaround. He is cashing everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, you don't get a real good respect for how good NBA players are until you watch them on air.
Yeah.
Versus watching just some yokels down at the Y on air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see a guy, Andre Jackson, a center fielder for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Andre Jackson, you watch him get up like that and you're going, that guy doesn't play all the time. How is that not the best player in the league?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That type of athleticism is like, yeah, he's going to play 6 minutes in a blowout.
And superheroes, the most memorable
athletes
6 minutes.
Athletes are superheroes.
Watching Harrison Barnes, warm up before the games and not miss anything, it's almost like me.
Oh no!
Ain't no oh no,
hey, Jesse. Get
ain't
your
no
guy.
Oh no. But y'all want to see it? Y'all don't believe me?
Oh no! Please, I see the Instagram videos. I see the Instagram videos.
That's hilarious.
In your backyard,
Doug is always defending Harrison, like in pregame, and he does a bunch of like swipe over the top, like he messes with him the whole time.
I'm having a little fun with him. Those guys are crazy. Those guys are insane.
Wild.
I mean, Brooke Lopez. Like, did not miss anything.
I have a question, real quick. Honestly, like, not doing a bit. Honestly, if you were to be given Kings warm-up gear, like actual, like, authentic gear, and you went out and you started warming up, how long do you think it would take people to realize, if people were, like, watching and paying attention, to realize that you aren't a professional basketball player?
A little while. I ain't gonna lie. A little while. Now, look, when I say that, it's warm up. There's nobody guarding me, stuff like that. I'm not saying
coach,
I could play in
maybe,
the NBA
maybe,
today.
Maybe, you know, doing the passive.
I'm not saying I could play for the Kings today.
I'm just saying,
like, catch and shoot, doing all this other stuff. Like, yeah, I'll make
people are like, oh, 95%
of the shots, catch and shoot. Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to do that as a bit. I would love to dress
make
Kenny
it happen.
Up.
Well, no, because he'd get arrested.
No. Like, get
no,
people
they're
in
on
it.
They're in
oh.
on it.
Oh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not while, you know, what? Not while De'Aaron and them are out there, but, like, you know, when the two-way guys come out pregame.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And they're warming up. I don't think in that situation anybody, because genuinely, like, I know that you played and you're good, especially for somebody who's, what, 43, 44 now?
I'm 40.
I'm
not that old yet. I'm looking a little older, but not that old yet.
I was trying to do a joke. That's my bad. but especially, like, I don't think in that setting where it's, okay, it's the two-way guys.
Well, what would happen is when you got to start doing stuff like attacking the basket and jump and stuff like that, they'd be like, that guy doesn't jump high at all.
They'd be on to you.
That's when the questions will start.
15 feet and out, though, they got no idea.
That guy barely gets off the ground.
That's right.
What's going on here?
What do you guys got coming up today on D'Lo and Casey?
Kings. And this is a big game. It's a big game. I said this week is a big week. This week, in my opinion, will go a long way into determining what the final outcome for the Kings season will be. I really believe that.
Drake Bar's game?
They've been asking for it. I don't know. We'll see.
The people are clamoring for it.
We'll see.
They're in the chatty house today.
They're clamoring. Man. They're clamoring.
We'll see. We'll see what it is, man.
All right. We'll find out on D'Lo and KC next on ESPN 1320.
Thanks, chatty house.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Gotta go.
Yep.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.